So we've been going for many weeks in the book of Romans. And you may wonder, why would I take so long just to work through one book of the Bible? Well, it's important for the truth of God's word to be pressed deeply into our hearts. There was a study done once to work out how many times do you have to hear something before you start to believe it. How many times do you have to make an effort to do something new that's different if you're trying to break a habit? When does something become like second nature and becomes normal to you? They said generally it takes about 30 times. To reinforce an idea or a habit. So when we slow down and go in detail through a book of the Bible, it's because we need to hear certain things over and over again until they sink in. And as the book of Romans describes righteousness that comes from God, God reaches into us and he starts to adjust the way we see things. And he slowly breaks down our wrong view. Wrong views of sin, wrong views of righteousness. Wrong views of our own identity. And he starts to build a new picture based on his truth, which is the truth. That you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And where we've been taught to try and seek approval through doing good, God has to break that down and replace it with the idea that you are accepted in Christ Jesus. Not based on your performance, but based on God choosing you, adopting you into his family, and clothing you in the righteousness of Jesus. When someone comes into your family, the parents clothe them. It's not the child's job to dress himself. When he's little and helpless, even later on, it's the parents who provide. My children didn't have to buy their own clothes. With what money would they buy clothes? They don't have their own money. They don't have enough anyway. It's my pleasure to clothe them. And it was God's pleasure to clothe us in the righteousness of Christ. still was in our nature to go back to works. And try to obey laws. In order to preserve our good standing with God. And last time I preached on Romans. There was an interesting verse in Romans 7 verse 4. Paul said, you've died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So Paul says we died to the law. In order to bear fruit for God. When we are in Christ Jesus. That's a very grand statement. Paul said not only your justification is in Christ, but your sanctification is in Christ. Become holy. You grow in holiness. You mature as a Christian. Not because you're better and better at keeping the law. But because you're in Christ. And when you are in Christ, you probably do become better at keeping the law. But Paul is saying it's not the law. It's Christ that takes you forward. And so as a Christian, your goal to grow up is to grow up in Christ, not in your skill at obeying the law. Second half of Romans 7. And we're going to look at the problem of sin in a Christian's life. And I want to talk for a while about how we can fight against sin. Where our hope for holiness lies. So let's read from Romans 7, from verse 14 to verse 25. Thank you. Sometimes when things aren't going well, we want to give up. Have you ever experienced that feeling? Maybe you messed up in your job, or you're not enjoying it, and work's going badly, and you think, maybe I should find another job. Maybe you're in a relationship and it's not going great. And you think, maybe I should leave, maybe I should quit this thing. And sometimes when you're walking with God and you're struggling to get it right, you think, what's the point? I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be like that guy. I'm never going to be much of a saint. You think, I'm not a saint, I'm an unholy one. Some people backslide because they became discouraged with themselves. And Paul, he doesn't believe that's necessary. He doesn't believe it's necessary for you to backslide. In fact, he doesn't believe it's necessary for you to become completely discouraged with yourself. He thinks there's every reason to go on with God. Because his conclusion in this passage of Scripture is that when you're struggling to get it right, and you sometimes don't get it right, he kind of says, but you wanted to. You wanted to do what pleases God, but your flesh sabotaged you. Sin came in, and your flesh won this round. And he says, so it wasn't the true you, it was your flesh that isn't yet fully crucified.
He says,
and he says, you feel awful. Maybe you feel like a wretched person. But he says, you have hope. Because Jesus will rescue you. Your hope is Jesus. It's not in the level of victorious living to which you have attained. Because when you sin as a Christian, the devil comes and says, you're a useless Christian.
He
says, what's the point of even following God, because you're no good at it? And you should have obeyed the law, and you should have done the right thing. And you think to yourself, yeah, I should have. I'm just not any good at this thing of being a Christian. And in one case, the devil will get you to just throw yourself away from God and deep into sin. Give up on repenting. In the other case, the devil gets you to continue to feel guilty all the time as a Christian. But there's a third option that the devil doesn't want you to follow. something and you regret it because you know you never wanted to do it. continues in the present tense. Describing something which is not consistent with his own testimony of when he was a Pharisee. So he's not talking about when he was an unbeliever. He's talking about something that's real for him in his current state in his life. And it's consistent with what he writes to the Galatians. When he writes about the flesh and the spirit. And he writes to the Galatians. And he says the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to each other. And he says to keep you from doing the things you want to do. He repeats exactly the same thing. He says you end up doing what you don't want to do because of your flesh. So I'm fairly certain Paul was writing to a believer. Describing his personal experience as a believer. And what he means to say is this. He's not saying we live in a constant state of defeat. But he's saying we don't live in a constant state of victory. That's important for you to know. Because there is a distortion of the gospel. That preaches victorious living. As the only true Christian life. And leaves most people lying as they claim to be victorious when they aren't. Denying what's true. Someone says, how are you? They're sick. But they can't say they're sick. Because they're not allowed to have a negative confession. Or they're struggling in their marriage. And they go to church and pretend everything is alright. Because a good Christian is not allowed to have a bad marriage. You have to project a facade of victory. And we end up living a lie. Paul wants you to know. Christians don't live in constant, perpetual victory. Sometimes we sin. And as a result, we can be vulnerable with one another. We can be truthful when we're not doing well. And we don't have to be ashamed to say it's difficult sometimes. And if you blew it, and you are agonizing over sin, Paul says that is sometimes what happens to a Christian. You didn't want to, In your heart of hearts, you wanted to please God. But your flesh got a victory there. He says, look to Jesus. He is still your hope. In 1 John, it's consistent with that teaching that if we claim to be without sin, we are liars. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. So what happens when you believe that the Christian life should only be victory, victory, victory? Is that when you mess up, you try to hide it from your pastor, from your friend, even from God Himself. But if you're willing to admit that we are not perfect, and you are still tempted, that the flesh still exists even though you despise it, sometimes you give in to it.
Say
we're back here and we make a mistake or we sin.
jetzt die jungen Leute auf der Sonne, in der Luna.
Would it be possible just to say I blew it?
Also, du wirst den Zuschauer nachher zwitschern.
And know that God won't reject you. But the quicker you turn back to Him, the quicker you receive peace and healing. And so what Paul wants
is
that when we sin, we don't go for a journey in the wilderness. But we quickly turn back to Jesus. And he says we can do it. Because we're not going to lose face with God. He already knows us. It's not as if God's going to reject us. This is normal for Christians to mess up occasionally. So if you shorten that time from when you mess up to when you repent, because you're willing to admit that you aren't perfect, that the real you wants to please God, but there's still sin. We shorten the repentance cycle. I used to sin and then a day later I'd repent. Or maybe you sinned and it was a month before you really turned back to God. But now if I mess up, I want to turn back to God within minutes. I know that when I blow it, I want to just go back to God. I don't want to stay in that place of being a wretched man agonizing. I want to quickly own up to my mistake. So now I'm walking along and I can see I'm heading in the direction of sin. And I've become so quick to repent that now I'm going to repent even before I sin. I'm going to say, I can just see where this is going. I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to feel bad. And then moments later, I'm going to run back to God. So let me run to Him now. Let me run to Him now. Right before I sin. And find my strength in Him. And so we actually find more victory. When we've made a habit of repenting quickly. I'm not suggesting we play fast and loose. We treat sin as if it's a small thing.
Sarcina la care trebuie să ade o țară, am în fața acolo, care la trebuie să nu trebuie să ade, te la mila, ți sus, pe care am
venit. Otherwise, I'll probably never be good enough and I will always need Jesus.
Adică mi-e să trebuie să ade, ți o țară, la o vină, la o vină, ca mila, la ce marci, acolo, acolo, acolo.
And though I may become more and more holy, I'm always going to need Jesus. My goal is not to reach that point where I'm perfect. But to be close to Jesus for so long that eventually He makes me perfect.
Yes.
I will be holy, but because He washes me and cleans me and sanctifies me.
Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, thank you for Paul's words.